Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Complete Guide to Overcoming Health Anxiety, How to Live Life to the Fullest. Because You're Not Dead Yet by Josh Spitalnick is a self-help and clinical psychology book focused on health anxiety, also known as illness anxiety or hypochondriasis. Written from the perspective of clinicians experienced in anxiety and obsessive compulsive related conditions. The book explains why fears about illness can persist even when medical reassurance is repeatedly obtained. Its purpose is practical, rather than purely informational. It aims to help readers understand the mechanisms that keep health anxiety active and to practice evidence-based strategies drawn from cognitive behavioral therapy, exposure and response prevention, and acceptance and commitment therapy. The book is positioned for people struggling with persistent fear of disease, family members who may unintentionally reinforce reassurance cycles, and clinicians seeking a structured explanation of health anxiety treatment. Its distinctive tone combines clinical clarity with accessible examples, making a complex anxiety pattern easier to recognize and address. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, health anxiety is presented as a self-reinforcing fear and reassurance cycle. A central idea in the book is that health anxiety is not simply excessive concern about symptoms. It is a pattern cycle in which fear, checking, interpretation, and reassurance seeking keep one another alive. A bodily sensation, medical article, family history, or ambiguous test result can trigger the fear that a serious illness is present or imminent. The anxious person then tries to reduce uncertainty through scanning the body, searching online, asking others for reassurance, or seeking repeated medical opinions. These actions may bring temporary relief, but they also teach the brain that uncertainty is dangerous and must be neutralized immediately. This explains why reassurance often fails to produce lasting confidence. The book's comparison between health anxiety and obsessive-compulsive patterns is important because it shifts attention from the content of the fear to the process maintaining it. The question becomes less about proving that every feared illness is impossible, and more about changing the rituals and interpretations that make health uncertainty feel intolerable. Secondly, cognitive behavioral therapy is used to examine threat interpretations rather than deny symptoms. The book's use of cognitive behavioral therapy is significant because it does not ask readers to pretend that physical sensations are imaginary. Instead, it helps them examine the meaning assigned to sensations, uncertainty, and risk. Health anxiety often depends on catastrophic interpretations, such as treating a normal bodily change as evidence of disease, or assuming that a rare possibility deserves constant monitoring. CBT gives readers a way to identify these interpretations and distinguish between reasonable medical attention and anxiety-driven threat inflation. This matters because people with health anxiety often mistrust reassurance that sounds dismissive. A more useful approach is to acknowledge that bodies are noisy. Symptoms can be ambiguous, and medicine cannot remove all uncertainty, while still questioning whether anxiety is making a low probability event feel urgent. The book's CBT framework therefore supports more accurate thinking without becoming a debate over whether a symptom is real. It teaches readers to evaluate patterns of attention, probability, and behavior, not merely the symptom itself. Thirdly, exposure and response prevention targets checking, Googling, and repeated reassurance. Exposure and response prevention is one of the book's most practical treatment concepts because it directly addresses the behaviors that make health anxiety persistent. In this context, exposure means deliberately approaching feared health-related uncertainty, bodily sensations, or illness-related thoughts in a controlled and purposeful way. Response prevention means resisting the usual safety behaviors, such as excessive checking, online searching, repeated symptom comparison, or asking others to confirm that everything is fine. The reasoning is that anxiety decreases more reliably when the person learns they can tolerate uncertainty without performing rituals. This is different from trying to feel calm before living normally. RP asks readers to practice living while anxious so the brain can relearn that fear signals do not require immediate action. The book's emphasis on ERP also clarifies why avoidance is not a neutral choice. Avoiding health information, appointments, exercise, news, or bodily sensations may reduce distress briefly, but it can make the feared situation seem more dangerous over time. RP reverses that learning process through repeated practice. Fourthly, acceptance and commitment therapy reframes recovery as values-based living with uncertainty. Acceptance and commitment therapy adds an important dimension to the book because it broadens recovery beyond symptom reduction. Health anxiety can shrink a person's life by making medical risk the organizing principle of daily decisions. ACT challenges the pattern by asking readers to clarify what they want their lives to stand for even when uncertainty remains. This approach does not require liking anxiety or agreeing with frightening thoughts. Instead, it teaches psychological flexibility, the ability to notice fear, make room for uncomfortable sensations, and choose behavior based on values rather than on the demand for certainty. This is especially relevant for health anxiety because the body can never be made completely silent or predictable. If the goal is total certainty, life becomes dominated by monitoring and prevention. If the goal is meaningful action, anxiety may still appear, but it no longer receives automatic authority. The book's subtitle reflects this orientation. The aim is not reckless denial of health concerns, but a more balanced life in which fear of death or disease does not consume the time available for living. Lastly, the book addresses the difficult boundary between appropriate care and anxiety rituals. One of the most useful aspects of the book is its attention to a problem that many health anxiety resources handle too simplistically. People sometimes do need medical care. The challenge is distinguishing reasonable health behavior from compulsive reassurance seeking. The book treats this boundary as a practical skill rather than a one-time decision. Appropriate care usually involves following medical guidance, attending scheduled evaluations, and responding proportionately to new or clearly concerning symptoms. Anxiety rituals, by contrast, are repetitive, urgency-driven, and aimed at achieving certainty that no serious illness exists. This distinction is important because telling anxious readers to never seek reassurance can be unsafe and unrealistic, while encouraging repeated checking can strengthen the disorder. The book's clinical orientation helps readers, families, and professionals think in terms of patterns' frequency, urgency, function, and consequences. It also recognizes that health anxiety may coexist with real medical conditions, OCD, panic, or somatic distress. That makes the guidance more nuanced than simple reassurance, because it supports medical responsibility without allowing anxiety to become the manager of every bodily concern. In conclusion, The Complete Guide to Overcoming Health Anxiety is best suited for readers who repeatedly fear serious illness despite medical reassurance, people whose lives are narrowed by symptom checking or online searching, and family members who want to respond helpfully without feeding reassurance cycles. It is also useful for therapists, primary care clinicians, and other professionals who need a clear explanation of how health anxiety overlaps with obsessive-compulsive processes. Its practical benefit lies in connecting insight with behavioral change readers learn not only why reassurance fails, but also how CBT, RP, and ACT can be used to build tolerance for uncertainty and reduce compulsive responses. Intellectually, the book helps reframe health anxiety as a treatable pattern rather than a character flaw or simple overreaction. Compared with many anxiety self-help books, it stands out for focusing specifically on illness fears and for treating the medical uncertainty problem with nuance. It neither dismisses physical symptoms nor encourages endless investigation. Instead, it offers a structured way to separate responsible care from anxiety-driven rituals. That balance makes the book especially relevant in a culture where health information is abundant, alarming, and instantly searchable. If you would like to support Josh Spitalnick, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.